Good morning to you all. Looking at the Psalms again, looking at the middle part of Psalm 5. So if you could turn to that, if you have a Bible with you on your phone or a paper copy. Psalm 5, we'll read the first 7 verses. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. To start, I want us to consider the challenge of the Psalms themselves. Whether you read through a psalm a day, or go through the book of Psalms once a year, or once every 2 years, or if you were a good Anglican, you would read the psalm 12 times a year. But they are a challenging piece to read. Perhaps you think that we merely read them for devotional purposes. They have great thoughts in them. Perhaps you read them because you think that they're nice. I'm reminded of an English teacher I had in school, Miss Carter, and she hated that word, nice. If any of us would write an essay on what we did on our holidays and use that word nice, she would pull us to pieces because she considered it to be unimaginative. We could have done better. So do you just consider the Psalms to be nice? I think what this psalm teaches us is something that is very challenging, and in this section from verse 4 to 7, something challenging about our God. When you read this, it challenges our thoughts about God. It tells us that God is holy. First of all, God takes no pleasure in wickedness or evil. God does not delight in sin. We would expect that of a holy God. That word pleasure, it means favor. He does not look with favor upon the deeds of men that are wicked. And that word wickedness, that means iniquity. It means evil. It is that which is opposite the character of God, who is holy. Sin is central to the lives of these people. And you know, it's a description of all of us. Secondly, in verse 4, evil cannot exist in God's presence. It shall not dwell with him. Evil, that's bad morals, bad ethics, bad practice, will not be welcome in the presence of our holy God. It shall not dwell with him. That word dwell, it means a lodging place. It will not be in his home, where he is, where he sojourns. God is so incompatible with the presence of sin. And his holiness is active. Hebrews tells us that our God is a consuming fire. Sin will have its consequence. Wickedness will be dealt with. Our wickedness will be dealt with. In our case, it has been, but we'll get to that. God will not tolerate, thirdly, the arrogant. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. And that's an interesting word, the boastful, because it's the word where we get hallelujah from. Hallel. It means praise. It's legitimate and praiseworthy to say hallelujah, because that means praise the Lord. But these people, they were boasting about themselves. They were saying hallelujah, not hallelujah, hallelu me. They were elevating their own ego, their own worth. They were boastful, self-confident, and they had a swagger to them, and they gloried in the downfall of God's people. Where God's people were suffering, they gloried in that. They boasted about their own progress, their own worth at the expense of the godly. That's what happened with Job, with his companions. They were denigrating Job as a really wicked, vile sinner, but they were different. They were worthy enough to give him advice, to tell him where he was going wrong. And there are worse instances than that. In verse 5, here's a challenge. You hate all workers of iniquity. God hates those who do evil. You've heard it said that God hates the sin but loves the sinner. We will see that that statement is true in a minute. But here it's clearly declared that God hates those who work iniquity. But it means those who have sin as a way of life. His anger is against those who reject holiness. But there is an opportunity for repentance, even for these people. When you think of how it took one man's message from God, Jonah, to cause a whole wicked nation, Nineveh, a wicked city, to repent and turn to the Lord and to be forgiven by the God who is holy. In verse 6, we're told that God destroys liars. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. Why is the judgment of someone who just tells a lie so strong? Often we think of white lies. Why is that so bad? Do you know, our God is a speaking God. Our God is one who says a word and the solar system, the universe, came into existence. By his word, he brought life. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself is called the Word of God. His testimony is true. He does not lie. He cannot lie. He is truth. Our word, his word, is truth. Words can lead to sin. Satan is the one who deceives in the garden. He's the one who tells lies that the Lord Jesus called the father of lies. God hates liars and false witnesses. And in the same breath, we're told that God hates murderers and deceivers, liars, in the same breath as murderers. Lies can lead to death, eternal death. Those who believe the lies of this world, the lies that they tell themselves of their own greatness, of their own lack of sin, will lead to death. But it's verse 7, when you see the mercy of God come in. We've seen one side of the coin, the hatred of God towards wickedness because he is holy. But the other side of the coin is his mercy and his grace. David says, "But as for me, I will come into your house, into his dwelling, where his presence is, in the multitude of your mercy." And that's the only way that David or anyone else can enter into the presence of God, through the mercy of God. That must come first. It does come first. And I want you to consider that David can fit the description that is given in this psalm of that wickedness, of that deceiver, of that murderer. He was guilty of that. But he knew the mercy of God. He had repented of his sins and trusted in the Lord and his mercy. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. "But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God," which we've been speaking about. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." On one side of the coin, you have the judgment and the wrath of God. On the reverse side, you have the mercy and the grace of God. And we shall be saved by his life because we have been saved by his death. The Lord Jesus on the cross took all of those things, these wicked works of men, the wicked works of you and I, he took them upon himself. When he became sin for us, he became for us our lies. He became for us our murderous thoughts. And he dealt with them on the cross, showing the mercy and the grace, so that we, like David, can come into his house, come into his presence in the multitude of his mercies. The Psalms are challenging. Next time, we'll look at another aspect of this psalm that is challenging, especially to the New Testament Christian. And I'll introduce you to a type of psalm and a word that describes these psalms. But let us end on thanking the Lord Jesus, thanking our God, so that we can say, not praise me, but praise him. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to this place and remember our Lord Jesus Christ, all that he has done for us, so much more than we can even imagine, has been achieved by the death and the life and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. How you approved that sacrifice by raising him from the dead, and he ascending into heaven to your presence. And we too, through your mercy, can come close to our God who is a consuming fire, our God who will not tolerate sin. We thank you for your grace and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray this day that that message will go throughout this land and on this planet, the mercy of God, the love of God. We give thanks for it and ask that you'll continue to be with us as we seek to serve and bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ.